Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
You know, Mac, yesterday on this show, we had Lauren Brownlow came on, as she normally does, doing a segment. And we pretty much spent majority time talking about things that's going over Carolina. People moving, people coming back. I mean, people not coming back. New coach, all that. Then she made a statement, which I thought was interesting. And it was true at the time, which she said, but everybody, all other teams are kind of quiet. You know, you don't hear that much from NC State going on. You may hear some people, a couple people, I think one guy transferred to state from some school, but you don't hear a lot. But definitely hear a lot, you know, last week or so from your crew, the Duke Blue Devils. But lo and behold, I'm checking my Twitter, and now Duke is really hurt because Matthew Hurt is declaring for the NBA. Yeah, that was weak. Matthew Hurt is declaring for the NBA, and he's not going just to test the waters. So he is going for real, like for real, for real. Like he's hiring an agent, ending his career at Duke. And I would say this though. I'm really, really surprised. I didn't see this one coming. What about you?
No, I didn't know who was whispering in his ear. I don't know what he did. I don't know if he went to some camp or got the inside track or I don't know. Called in a favor or, you know, his uncle's best friend from college is a judge or GM or something. I don't know.
A judge.
Yeah. Supreme Court judge. So I don't know what happened.
Well, I mean, what surprised this guy, he earned first team all ACC this season, was the leading scorer, averaging about 18.3 points a game, and he shot over 55% from the field. And he made a statement yesterday and had a release from Matthew Hurt. He said, first, I want to thank God and my family for blessing me with the opportunity and helping me continue to achieve my goals. And, of course, I'm so appreciative of Duke head coach Mike Krzyzewski, the coaches and staff at Duke for always trusting and believing in me. It always has been a dream to play at Duke, and it's also has been a dream of mine to play in the NBA. That's a line in everybody's statement when they get ready to leave. Duke has made me become a better player and person, and has put me in a position to take the next step in my career. All right, so is he a lottery? Well, first of all, is he a first rounder?
Is who a first rounder?
Matthew Hurt.
Now, why you do this every time?
No. Well, I mean, DC, is it a first rounder?
If he is, it's going to be like in the late 20s. I see him as probably a second round pick.
Yeah. Here's my point.
At least you know he's not a first rounder. Well, you know what? I take it back. If your guy was a first rounder, yeah, you're right. He could be a first rounder. He's going to go between 11 and 13 just like your guy.
No. Hey, we seen Cam Johnson play. Matthew Hurt is no Cam Johnson, okay?
Why not?
All right.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not? Why can't
Cam Johnson? Why not?
Cam Johnson, Matthew Hurt, they look the same to me. Okay. Just one's a little older. That's all. If Matthew Hurt stayed in college for the next 8 years like Cam Johnson did, he could go just like Cam Johnson. But he could go right now. Cam Johnson played for 7 years in NCAA. Maybe six and a half.
I think he may have played five on the real, but I can't. Well, because he had to sit out. He had to sit out 1 year.
Matthew Hurt's been playing for two years, maybe three years.
By the way, Cam Johnson's been straight balding for the Phoenix Suns.
He's had a great pro career thus far. But he old enough.
Okay.
I mean, he's 30.
I mean, that's it. Okay. Matthew Hurt, if he maybe Mitch flip in at 30, 31.
Ooh.
I don't know. But he won't. He's definitely not a lottery pick.
Reese is wrong.
Reese is right. Hashtag Reese is right. Sometimes. I'll be right this time.
Reese is wrong, and he ain't trying to be right. He just trying to be messy. That's what that is. Shade Master.
I think, but that's you, SM. Shade Master. My thing is, that's the first question you ask. Because first team. Can they do that
check.
Again?
Okay. Check. Yep.
So, leading but you score. Don't come out.
Check.
Yeah, they had a terrible season. This season, he's going to be the leader on the team. So, you may want to improve your draft. At anything, I've made to put my name in the hat and didn't hire an agent. But to the extent that he knows he's going to go all in and he's going to be a pro, I'm just saying maybe he's talking to some people, like you said before, real. Maybe Coach K's done his due diligence in terms of talking to the pro guys. But you ask me. If I'm not a first round, I'm not coming out. Because I want to guarantee money the first round. Second round, you might as well get drafted when I got drafted. When I didn't get drafted. My point I'm making is that, I mean, unless you're a surefire first rounder, come back, improve your stock. I'm surprised. I'm shocked.
Would his stock gotten any higher had he come back?
Well, that's the other problem. Sometimes you stay in school too long. You're right. So that's a pretty rock and a hard place.
No, it's not. You know,
what the hell does that mean? But go ahead.
No, it's not.
Huh?
It's not a rock and a hard place. Just go with what you know. 100, worst case, you make $1.5 million versus come back and go to biology class. Come on now. Stop acting like you don't know the answer to this riddle. Come on, Reese. Come on, now. Stop that. Stop playing around. I mean, I understand you're old school purist and you believe in the fundamentals and in the sanctity of education. And all great
Absolutely.
Things that come along with coming back to school and being a pillar of the community and all of that. But dear Reese knows, just like I know. $1.5 million or going to Mr. Johnson's biology class don't measure up. They ain't the same, bruh. Like, for
now,
real.
I would 100% agree with you on that one. However, I would have to making $1.5 million a year versus, I don't know, not being drafted
maybe
at all.
Not a biology, maybe he's not a biology major. Maybe he's a business major. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, you understand? Come on, that school with a degree in business from Duke. You may be up in the 1.5 at some point. You know, you go to Wall Street, hedge fund, all this stuff.
Are you still talking? Because you know
better. I am.
Yeah, you.
If I'm breathing, I'm talking.
You know better. You know better.
Yeah, 100% correct. People, we have to take the other side sometime on this show. That's what we do, okay? So anyway, no, I agree. I guess I was shocked because here's the thing. Name one player who's going to be the leader at Duke now? Name one player. Go while he got his hat.
Oh, yeah, you know, now right now.
Which he should have not like they was losing anything about him leaving. Maybe defense, probably. But
so when I saw the news, I got nervous, though, Reese. I got nervous when I saw the news.
Why you get nervous?
You know. What happened to y'all when people started leaving? Hall of Fame coach up and quit.
Oh. Oh, put Hall it down. Here's a put it down. Hey, put it down. He's quitting next year. One more season, yeah. He's out. Put it down.
We lose one more Matthew Hurt or one more transfer decide or one more commit decide to decommit, we in trouble. We may lose one of the greatest basketball minds and coaches in NCAA, well, in basketball history.
Well, no argument here for me. No argument at all. No argument.
So that's why I got I got a little nervous. I'm gonna be honest. That's why I got a little nervous. I said, uh oh. Oh, we see what and this is Coach Williams.
this next story is interesting. I'm gonna qualify the story by saying, I saw something on Twitter, and when I saw it, I immediately thought about it before I saw it, and I'm gonna tell you why. Okay, Wes Miller leaves UNCG. Wes Miller, friend of the show, he's going to head coach of UNC Greensboro. He's going to Cincinnati, K-Mac. Former UNC guard Wes Miller was considered one of the early favorites to succeed Roy Williams, but ultimately Hubert Davis got that job. But his run of success has been well chronicled at UNCG. He was there for 10 years. Now he's taking his talents to the University of Cincinnati. Let me tell you the other side while I was thinking when I saw this. I said, okay. Are we going to have another Matt Doherty, Roy Williams situation? Let that sink in for a second. You know where I'm going with this?
Yep.
It's not our share. Huh?
Go ahead. Yep. Yep. I know you're going to go ahead and share for the people in the back.
My main man who I'm putting hard for, Hubert Davis, not as successful at Carolina as the fans and we hoped them to be. Couple years, don't work out. Next guy in that chair is Wes Miller. Same thing happened when Matt Doherty came in. Didn't get it done, and it brought Roy Williams in. So somebody tweeted that. I thought about that prior to I saw the tweet. Hopefully for me, as a friend of Hubert, I hope that doesn't happen. But you know, it kind of makes you think about it a little bit, huh?
I'm a little off on the idea. It didn't seem like a good fit. It just doesn't.
Right.
Right. Not sure. What about that job attracted him to that job? Other than the interview process at Carolina left him with a hole, or a glaring hole in his resume, right?
Mm.
And this is a desperate effort to go fix that.
Mm.
And I say desperate in a sense, in the terms of, I don't think it's a good fit. So you take
That's
what
great,
you can
point.
To fill this
yep,
hole.
Yep.
Right.
Just like any
interview.
Yeah.
That's right. And they probably said, mm-hmm. No, we're gonna go with our guy. He's been groomed for this. This is Roy Williams, Coach Roy Williams' wishes. And we're gonna abide by his wishes of who his successor should be. Number one. Which is okay. I think they all did the right thing there, with the exception of this whole layering his pay thing with But that's a whole nother story. So they did the right thing all around. But then their feedback to Coach Miller was, yeah, but. And Coach Davis is in the program. He's here, and it's Coach Williams' wishes. But also, I think you should do, just like a young player goes to this pre-combine stuff or whatever for the NBA and decides to come back to school.
Yeah.
And they left him, well, what do I need to work on? I think you got to, or his agent or somebody told him, you got to fix this. And whatever this is, being the head coach at Cincinnati supposedly helps fix that. In the event Coach Davis doesn't work out here or another larger opportunity shows up in the near future. That's my take on it.
Great take. A couple of real quick comments. I don't see Cincinnati as a big come up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see Cincinnati as a big come up, you know, over UNCG. Not at all.
I think he would have been better off. I think it would have been a better off. He's just continue to build and take UNCG even further. That's just me.
Yeah.
Because I think they could.
Yeah, Rick.
I really think he could.
Real quickly, I heard that he thought about, I think Arizona was thinking about bringing him in too, but they ended up hiring the coach from Gonzaga. So there you go. not the head coach, but the assistant coach from Gonzaga. Real quickly.
That's a bad option.
Right, I know. Starting next season, major college football and basketball players will be permitted to transfer one time before graduating without being required to sit out a year. Now, the so-called one-time exemption has been available to athletes in other NCAA sports for years. But now they're allowing football and basketball players to do the same thing. This is going to be open season here, boy. This is going to be crazy. Mm-hmm. You think it's crazy now with the transfer portal because of, COVID and everything. But now, this thing is crazy, absolutely crazy. But if you're the coach, I got three things. I got three pieces of advice for you. Three of them. One, make sure you have your Pepsi Zero Sugar. Two, make sure you have your Mountain Dew Zero Sugar. And three, finally, make sure unequivocally that you have the official sports apparel of the Sports Shop with Under Armour. It'll keep you right and keep you tight all night. Absolutely.
Get it right, get it right, get it tight. Get it right, get it right, get it tight. Get it right, pretty girl. Get it right, get it tight. Get it right, get it right, get it tight.
Color Park, Bubba Sparks, Ying Yang Twins.
3-2. Rodon. To third. Moncada. Carlos Rodon.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Carlos Rodon, man, throws the throws a no-hitter. Almost had a perfect game, except for hitting the guy on the foot. He pitches for the Chicago White Sox, and we'll get into that later on in the show.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
And it is definitely throwback Thursday, and I'm really curious what year we're throwing the bat to, DC. What we got?
So I'm attempting to throw it back to the year 2014 because you mentioned how former NC State pitcher and former Holly Springs pitcher, currently for the White Sox, Carlos Rodon, threw a no-hitter last night. Well, he was a 2014 first-round draft pick of the White Sox. Well, I was trying to play a song, via YouTube, but unfortunately Google is having some issues right now, and YouTube it's a Google property and all that kind of stuff. So not able to actually play a song from YouTube. I was attempting to play maybe Bang Bang by Nicki Minaj. Unfortunately cannot, so I just go with our stock J. Cole sound that we had here. So, but we are attempting to throw it back to 2014, and that's the reason why. But the internet's operating like it's 1994, though.
Nice. When it wasn't even in existence, almost did. That is interesting. Oh, man. Again, you can join the conversation at 919-890-6200. In 2014, I guess we could think it back. The Sports Shop, we was around 2014.
Absolutely.
Getting it in. We was getting around.
Absolutely.
We was getting in big time.
We try to be nice.
I'm just saying, Matt. Try to be nice.
We try to be nice.
I just put a cap on the last thing, though. But it is going to be like open season when your coach, you get disappointed in the coach. You said, that's okay. And also, you can do interconference, too. I can be playing for Carolina and say, okay, you got a problem with me, Coach Davis? I'm going to play for Coach K. Which would be a disaster, in my opinion. But anyway, man, let's pivot real quick because, unfortunately, and we talked about this Friday or Thursday or last week, I think, when we talked about having these conversations all the time about George Floyd, and of course we hearing all sorts of names, Breonna Taylor, then we got Dante name out there as well. And tired of hearing these names called because of some stupid stuff. I would say some other stuff, but I'm on the radio. But we got a guy who's been in the middle of a lot of these things on both sides of it, with law enforcement and work with them, as well as, trying to be an advocate for, BLM and other things such as nature. He's a salute to champ recipient 2021. He's calling in on Houston Automotive Group Hotline. Welcome back to our show again, K-Mac, our main man, Greer Webb. Good morning, Greer. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm doing all right. How are y'all?
Doing well, sir. All glad right. to have you back.
Glad to be
Greer,
with y'all.
We love to talk to you, and we always have great times, great fun and insightful conversations when we talk to you. But talking to you about this topic is sometimes a little bit depressing because we got to have these conversations, though. But you know, you and I talk, you kind of want to shed some light on what's going on with all these shootings here in the recent last week or so.
Definitely. I mean, you're exactly right. It is sad and it is exhausting and traumatizing for us as Black folks. And we know that these issues are intersectional as well. I mean, we just had Greg Popovich talking about these issues and talking about, you know, it doesn't matter if you're an athlete, no matter how much money you have, no one is really immune from violence in America if you are Black. And so I think what is exhausting and what's traumatizing is not just being a Black person, not being a Black young man and going through life in America right now, but the more traumatizing and the more exhausting part is truly the anti-Blackness that's really in existence all around. And so with these recent incidents and specifically the ties between them, I mean, one of Dante Wright's teachers is a member or is closely related to George Floyd. So it just goes to show how closely knitted these incidents are, and they really have to stop. They really do.
Well, we're talking with Greer Webb about some of the issues that are going on here as of recent. So one of the questions I have is, you, because you're close to this and you're a great community advocate, and when you guys talk about solutions and ideas and ways, what do you think are some of the obstacles that kind of prevent forward progress, so to speak?
I mean, that's a great question. Something I like to say often is that true change on any issue, but specifically racial issues in this country, take three things. That first thing is education. The second thing is protesting or raising our voices when injustices occur. And the third thing is policy change. And so I think we're really waiting on that policy change. I mean, we saw last year, and we know, right, that young Americans have been on the front lines of every social justice movement in this nation's history. So the education is there and growing. That protesting aspect is there. So really now we're waiting on that policy change. And so when it comes to education about these issues, we also need to be able to cohesively and coherently explain to our community members the differences, right, and how Black people, how racial minorities versus white Americans are treated. And so, you know, we see with the January 6th incident, right, that had all of our attention. And those Americans chose not to comply, but we see that they were able to go home at the end of the day, and many of them were not arrested. And so part of that education is explaining the disparities in how we're treated as people, all stemming back to this mythological hate of one another based on the pigmentation of our skin. And we need to really get to a point where we can tie all three of those, education, protesting, and then policy change, and really hold our leaders' feet to the fire and say, this is an issue when it comes to police brutality that we need to address right now.
Interesting. We're talking to Greer Webb, who's a UNC student, by the way, Morehead Scholar, involved with NC Town and Young Americans Protest. You mentioned, Greer, about policy. And I know that you have the governor's ear because you're involved with a lot of things he's doing. Do you guys communicate about these issues? And if you do, how often do you talk about them?
We're definitely in communication, especially as it pertains to social justice and racial equity here in the Triangle and in North Carolina. I mean, it's an issue that the governor and the attorney general here in North Carolina definitely want to be out in front on and in doing the right things. And so while that's great, it's always a goal of us on the community activist side to continue to put that pressure on our leaders to make sure that we're being proactive instead of reactive, right? Mm-hmm. So right now we're kind of in this holding pattern as more and more police killings continue to occur. We're waiting for this verdict in the George Floyd trial in Minnesota. And so whatever way that verdict goes, what is that going to mean for us here in Raleigh, for us in the Triangle, for North Carolina. And so that's something that I want us to be thinking about when it comes to these governmental leaders, is we've got to be proactive on these issues. We have to be justice-minded instead of being reactive, as I feel we were last summer.
Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting. Go ahead, Matt.
We're talking with Greg Webb, one of our Salute the Champions recipients from this year. And, you know, you talk about not being reactive and being proactive. People that are sitting around now that are frustrated and at this point just really just saying to themselves, are we going backwards? Are we not making any progress? We're not doing anything. What would you suggest for those individuals that are just frustrated and say, I feel like I have to do something, but I don't know what I can do or what I should do?
Right. I mean, I think that's a critical question, as I myself am frustrated, right, and continually frustrated. But I would just say to keep the faith. I think that we are making progress. We can even see with last summer, those that were alive during the civil rights movement have even said that the protests and the calls for change last summer were some of the most diverse they'd ever seen, both in terms of age and in terms of race. And so we are moving toward progress. I believe we are still, you know, as a community, as a nation, I believe that we're talking more, at least. We're educating ourselves on these issues. But again, we have got to keep speaking up when they occur, and we've got to have some written change be put into effect. Because right now, to be honest with you, I do see ways in which Black America has progressed, but I'm also very concerned with the ways we have not. And that is because of the oppressive system that we call the United States. And so in many ways, we're no different than we were in the 50s and the 60s when it comes to generational wealth and economics, when it comes to the lynchings and murdering of Black young men and women. And so not only is that tough, but I do believe that young people can be part of that change. And we all really have to keep the faith, keep the conversation going. But really, right now, we need some policy change at the national level as well as the state level to really make sure that not only officers are held accountable, but that young Black men and women can go home to their families at the end of the day. Because as I often say, again, politics is personal. The root word of politics, D-O-L, means people. And so as something, you know, attorney Ben Crump said the other day, it was the blood of people like Breonna Taylor. It was the blood of the Eric Garners and Philando Castile that's making this accountability, at least these quick charges like we're seeing in Minnesota, possible. And that shouldn't have to be the case. But I've just got to hold on to hope that we're going to get to a place of equality at some point in this nation.
Well, if we're depending upon you, I think we're in a good place. He's Greg Webb, of course, rocking with us here on the Sports Shop, calling on the Houston Automotive Group Hotline. Last question for me. So what are you doing this summer? What you got going on? Pretty sure there's something exciting and it's something involving something in maybe politics or something like that. What do you have going on this summer?
That's the plan. Not entirely sure yet, but I'm definitely going to try and work to expand my knowledge when it comes to racial equity, when it comes to youth engagement and youth empowerment. And so as part of the Moorhead Cane program, each summer we are privileged to have a certain opportunity. So this summer may still look a little different because of COVID-19, but I'm interested to see what that turns up for me. May be definitely something political either here in North Carolina or in the D.C. area. And so I'll definitely let y'all know, maybe come back on and talk a little bit about that opportunity once it comes to fruition.
Oh, that'd be great. You always have a voice here because we love trying to get some insight from you. I think you're one of those shining stars out there. So keep up the good work, my friend. Appreciate you. And we'll talk to you soon, Greer.
Sounds good. Y'all take care. It's always a pleasure talking with you.
All right.
Take care. There it is, Mac. Incredible.
You see it? You see what you look. You see what you guys listening to it, you heard what we're working with for the next generation, so keep the faith.
Exactly.
Keep the faith. You heard what we're working
keep
with.
Keep the faith. There it is.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
From the basketball court at the University of Virginia to the classroom at UNC Chapel Hill, Dr. Deborah Strowman has it all covered. Now this professor and sports business entrepreneur is about to take you to school. It's time for Dishing It Up with Dr. Strowman and the Sports Shop on Buzz Sports Radio.
Stroh. What's up, Dr. Stroh? What are you doing this morning? Welcome to the show.
Good morning. 24 hours out before the Basketball Analytics Summit. Want to make sure the listening audience is aware of what's happening tomorrow virtually. And also wanted to chat a bit about the transfer portal.
Okay.
Well, let's tee it up. Basketball Analytics Summit tomorrow starting at 12 o'clock. Everyone is welcome. All levels of learners. Go to basketballanalyticssummit.com and have the opportunity to hear from 42 amazing speakers. Starting off with Dr. Dean Oliver, consider the grandfather of basketball analytics. Yes, he is a Tar Heel alum. Yes, he is an assistant coach for the Washington Wizards. Yes, he wrote the classic Basketball on Paper. And then you've got what I call the modern day diva of basketball analytics, Dr. Kirk Goldsberry out of University of Texas, also analytics work with the San Antonio Spurs, analytics work with U.S. base basketball. He's the one doing all that geospatial work with heat maps, looking at shots. He's the one who brought all of this to attention. And of course, most people who follow college basketball men's knows about Ken Pomeroy. So KenPom.com is the place to go when you're looking at the numbers and trying to make sense of it all. But we've got great panels, great exciting topics. We've got women's basketball, Deb Antonelli, graduate of NC State, who's one of the leading broadcasters in the business, women's and men's basketball. We've got head coach at Louisville, Jeff Waltz. We've got head coach of LSU, Nikki Fargus, head coach at Rhode Island, Tammy Reese. Those of you might remember Tammy. She was part of that Dawn Staley-Tammy Reese guard combo at Virginia. We've got the locals. We've got Tobacco Road. Phil Ford will be with us. Gene Banks. Derek Wittenberg. I mean, I can just go on and on, but we are really, really excited about tomorrow and the opportunity to learn and share and network. And a special thanks to the Errol Reese, who's going to join us. He's going to be moderating a panel as well.
Looking forward to it. We're talking to Dr. Deborah Strowman. We rock with her this episode of Distro each and every, of course, Thursday, same place, same time. So Dr. Strowman, so this is going to be a little different flavor this year because it's going to be virtually, but people still should be able to get the same type of impact that they've got in person, I'm sure.
Thank you. Because one of my goals, objectives, is always to make this an intimate setting where you can actually connect with speakers. People who have big names, people who are doing amazing work behind the scenes. And what I found at other conferences when I did my research is that oftentimes the speakers speak and then they're gone, or the speakers speak and you can't connect with them. They're considered like gods or something like that. And, you know, the feedback I've received from participants, from speakers, is they like the fact that they can really connect with people. You know, a Ken Pom can go talk to a Dean Oliver, and a Jordan Sperber, who runs Hoop Vision, can now talk to Dr. Harry Stafford. You know, Eddie Curry, the female coach of Maine men's basketball, she can talk to Jason Williford at UVA. Brad Frederick from UNC basketball will be here. Fran Fasilla, you know, again, another amazing broadcaster, primarily with the Big 12. The connections will still take place virtually. At the end of the conference at 5:30 tomorrow, we're going to have an open space for people to go out in the breakout rooms and connect with one another.
Yeah. I think actually the Sports Shop is logo somewhere on that page as one of the quiet sponsors, if you will. So we appreciate that. Fran Fasilla is the guy that people don't remember. He coined the phrase 2 years away from being 2 years away. So just, he's a guy that we always remember by when we hear that. So,
yeah, I had an opportunity to spend some time with Ken Pomeroy yesterday. What we're going to do is have some videos going when people are just hanging out, so to speak, in the main room. And I really like his topic. He's talking about defense for the 3-point shot. Does it really exist? Because we see a lot of people running out at a 3-point shooter. But you know, when you were little as a camper, no one tells you just go run at a shooter and run by him, right? So he really has some interesting analysis around that. And I don't think we're going to dial this back. 3-point shooting is here to stay. And if you have a, if you want to build a defensive juggernaut where, you know, people know it's going to be tough to win against you, to beat you, like a Baylor, a men's basketball, you know, what do you do with the 3-point defense? How do you manage that? How do you play that well? So I'm looking forward to people's feedback on that presentation.
Okay.
Outstanding. We're talking with Dr. Deborah Strowman, saying we do each and every weekend on this Throwback Thursday. Today is no different. And Dr. Strowman, you got, so people that are coming out, people that want to check out the analytics, how can they participate? If it's, you know, what options do they have to participate, especially seeing that it's virtual, so it could be a lot easier for a lot of people.
Well, thank you for asking. Again, please visit basketballanalyticssummit.com. analyticssummit.com, and you will find everything you need there, from bios of the speakers, you'll find the schedule, and you'll find the ability to sign up, as in purchase your ticket. We've got student tickets, we've got coaches tickets, and we've got professionals. And at each level, you can have the opportunity to purchase the recordings, as in to have access to every session, because some of them are concurrent. And so you might miss Ken Pom in this setting, but you want to hear somebody else in another setting, so you can have the recordings. So we're not going to lock you into a live action right there, and then you miss everything because you're in another room. But yes, basketballanalyticssummit.com, and hopefully we'll see you in the space tomorrow. Also, I'm doing something really fun this year with some animation, and I hope people come and check that out. I think it's going to be really, really a fun way to engage in this space.
Okay, so let's pivot. You want to talk about transfer portal you mentioned? I think you said that.
Oh, did we lose her?
Hello?
Yeah.
Was that a hard question, K-Mac?
I mean, nobody wants to be in the transfer portal. Yeah, so I know she's coming back. She's going to come back on, but this whole transfer portal thing is just – I think we just need to let it run its course. Honestly, let it run its course. Pretty soon, I mean, some people are gonna think it works for them, and they don't realize it doesn't work for them. And then, pretty soon, it's gonna be one of those where, all right, everything ain't for everybody. Apparently, I'm not a transfer kind of person. I need to stay where the hell I'm at.
Well, let me tell you this though. All the bad part about that is, and I know this for a fact. You heard this story. Mm-hmm. If they had the transfer portal or this whole thing we're talking about that they ruled on yesterday, but you can move to any other team without being penalized, Vince Carter wouldn't have stayed at Carolina after his freshman year. I tell you that right now. I know that for a fact.
But I'm going to challenge you on that reason. I'm not so sure, because he may have had an opportunity to see how it has worked out for others, and he may have not been thinking that way.
Oh, that may be true, too. But I just know I know personally he's going to leave after his freshman year. Anyway, we got D. Stroll back. I think we do.
Yes. So some thoughts around this for football, men's basketball, women's basketball, baseball, men's hockey, football. First concern is, why July 1? What is the significance of making the decision by July 1? Should it just be open? You can transfer whenever. So why July 1? That's an interesting date. I'd love to hear why they picked that date. And then I'm thinking about, again, football. Will you have enough time to develop the body? You know, there's this rush, you know, basketball players think in ninth grade that they could be in the NBA. With football, you might have the skill set in 12th grade. You might have the skill set in a second year player in college, but is your body ready for that? Because now generally you're going against grown men. And so the rush to transfer and think, oh, this would be my quicker way to get to the league, or maybe their weight room is better. Maybe they have a better nutritional program. So we have to pay attention to that, to the development of the body. And then I'm wondering if this is going to lead to more cheating, because now you really, really have to have something to keep these young men and women at your program. And if they're not playing, does that mean you slip some more Benjamins, you know, in their locker? Does that mean you allow them to do some other things, have access to different classes that you didn't allow them to do, didn't allow them to attend before? And yes, I know I'm probably surprising some people, but yes, there are still limitations on what athletes can do in terms of academics. We know it's on paper. We know they're supposed to be able to take any major and do all these wonderful things, but that's not reality. And then lastly, I would just say that, again, it puts so much pressure on coaches. Coaches are really going to have to get more involved with their players. I know over the years, listening to athletes talk about how they really don't know their head coach. They are there because of an assistant coach who recruited them, the assistant coach who actually coaches them, the assistant coach who checks in on them about their personal life, how they're doing. But I think head coaches are really going to have to come out of their, you know, their Taj Mahal offices and spend more time with athletes. So there would be another reason for the athlete to stay.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, that's a whole lot to chew on. Go ahead, yeah, man.
So, Dr. Stroman, I mean, so I guess I'm just trying to figure out, like, you probably didn't hear it. Yeah, dropped off earlier. I'm saying just let this run its course. All of this resistance, all of this, you know, pushback on both either side, just let it run its course. I think the best medicine for all of this is free will. Look, sometimes you just have to let people feel like they have that option, and pretty soon they'll say, well, maybe that's not, I don't want to take that option because I saw how that worked out for this person. I got a chance to experience this, and that's not for me. Just let it be. What's wrong with on either side, just let it be.
I lean towards that philosophy as well, but I think there might be something else we can do so that the coaches are just not caught in this. And it might be on their side, right? But what can they do to better manage this?
Yeah.
And maybe it's some software. Maybe it's a new philosophy that the coaches have to take. But speaking to a number of coaches across the country, it's almost like they're throwing their hands up and say, this is wild, wild west. But I agree with you. There has to be a freedom for athletes and a freedom for coaches. Right now, the coaches have all the freedom to be able to come and go. But mm-hmm. I do like the fact that athletes should be able to decide where they want to spend 4 years or 1 year.
Hmm. Yeah, but it's put a whole lot of pressure on the coaches, though. I mean, it's going to be, it's going to be just a whole lot of pressure, I think. Go ahead, Max.
I think people perform best where they choose to be.
Yes. Where they're happy.
Regardless if it's the right fit or not, regardless if it's the right place, they perform best and they feel best when they said, this is my choice. If it's your idea, you perform best. It just is. Whether somewhere else is a better fit for you, but you don't feel like it was your idea to be there, or you feel like you were forced to be there, you probably don't perform at your best. That's just a fact.
Well, then it goes to who's deciding where you're happy. We know the influence of parents, and I'm not talking about the parents who informed, who let the young men and women make up their own mind. They're engaged with the coaches. They know what's going on. I'm talking about those uninformed parents or the parents who see their life through the eyes of their elite athletes. And so they're pushing and pulling their athletes to go ahead and transfer and not be patient and to learn discipline. And you made a decision, so you need to be loyal. You can't quit on a program. And then I also see more emphasis on the existing power with grassroots coaches or AAU coaches, because they're the ones who helped to develop them, who took them to their games, mm-hmm. who gave them, mm-hmm. you know, sneakers when the household might not have been able to afford sneakers, who gave them their first opportunity to get on an airplane. And they're not going away. These young men and women, many of them consider their grassroots coaches like their surrogate parents. And so now when a player is thinking about leaving your school, I've got to check in with my grassroots coach. I've got to decide, you know, what's best for me. And so if that head coach or those assistant coaches don't have a great relationship with grassroots coaches, that could be problematic. It almost makes me think of tennis, where you have a player who's developed their tennis game through one or two coaches as they were in middle school, high school, and then they're in college. I've seen many, many tennis programs. The tennis coaches at that university still know that their hitting coach, the one who helped develop them, be prior to college is the one that the athlete will listen to.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yep.
So it's going to be interesting watching whether or not Alabama, Clemson, you know, name the powerhouses, you know, in terms of football. You know, you go to Alabama, you know your second string is still very likely to get opportunities to play in the NFL. But now, do you want to be a third string player at Alabama? Do you want to go over to another SEC or another Big 12 or whatever program and get some playing time, getting some reps? These are the things that are really are going to make a difference now with football.
Well, I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. But, yeah, yeah, I think probably the third-team guys would probably think, because those third-team guys, by the way, they're five stars too at those respective schools. So they're like, man, I'm not sure. I'm waiting around for this. I'm going to jump ship and go somewhere else. So it may affect some of the big-time program. But it doesn't matter, because you know what? Alabama's still going to win every year. So it ain't going to affect us at all.
Well, you think about the LSU quarterback, right? He jumped ship and went to LSU, got the ring, and players will look at that and say, well, why do I have to sit and wait behind another five-star quarterback?
Oh, yeah. Joe Burrow. That's right. He left Ohio State and went down to LSU. You're right. Mm-hmm. Wow, good point.
So it does work. All right, Dr. Strowman, as always, it's a pleasure having you on. One more time, let people know how they can support and come or check out the Analytics Summit, because it's a wonderful experience. If you haven't done so, I encourage everyone to participate.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, thanks again to WREL Radio. Special thanks to the Sports Shop, to you all for your support. It is the Basketball Analytics Summit kicking off tomorrow at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, and you can visit BasketballAnalyticsSummit.com.
All right. As always, Dr. Strowman, we appreciate you. Much love. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes Store.